Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of September 5th. I'm John Gibson, and with me this morning is Jim Allen, who's feeling much better than he was last week. I was going to make some joke, but it didn't seem right. So anyway, yeah, you're feeling much better than you were last week.
I was still feeling Olympic postpartum or something. I was really in bad shape, but we had interesting stuff, so that's the podcast kept me going.
Good. So
perhaps that's a future study for somebody, the health benefits of the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast.
Health benefits. I love it. All right. we're bucking to go this week. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Chris Martin of the Nippon Ham Fighters, and we're going to talk about Nippon Ham and the playoff picture. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, on Tuesday, I was at Tokyo Dome, where the Nippon Ham Fighters were playing their, I guess, that's hard to explain what they do. Their home park is in Sapporo, and they play at Sapporo Dome, among other places. But one of the places that the parent company wants them to play at is Tokyo Dome. And I've heard this, and this is what they say. We don't want to be here, but the parent company wants us to be here.
Right, because it's essentially a very long road trip to play a home game.
Yeah. Well, it's often the case that they're going to play a team in Kanto on their next stop. I mean, sometimes it's convenient, I suppose. But anyway, the Tokyo Dome is their former home park, where they, you know, rarely drew any fans. I'll be fair to people like Matt Winters, who has shown me photographic evidence of fans.
Photographic evidence. I used to see it on Pro Yaku News when it was back on free TV a long time ago in the olden days. Mm-hmm. There were fans there.
There were fans, but and you know, early 90s, sometimes there'd be like Golden Week games when there were lots of fans, but pretty much it was a case where there weren't a lot. And anyway, there are now. There's vastly more fans coming to watch them play at Tokyo Dome, and the Fighters officials are going, well, where were these guys, you know, when we were playing here?
Why do you think we packed up and moved to Hokkaido?
Yeah, where were these fans when we were playing here, and you know who didn't come and forced us to move to Hokkaido? So anyway, we were at Tokyo Dome and before a Fighters game on Tuesday, and I went basically, you know, I was really, really busy, but you know, I went to the office early to get work done so I could go to Tokyo Dome and hopefully talk to Shohei Ohtani. And the first word I got from my Fighters guy was, well, that ain't going to happen. and it turned out he had a bullpen session that day. And, we've been talking about his bullpens.
Right.
You know, are they happening or are they not happening?
We've been talking about them. That's it. Yeah.
Right.
We haven't been seeing them.
Well, and that was the thing, because the first bullpen session was reported for Sapporo Dome, where you don't see the bullpens. And then the second one was going to be at Rakuten, but nobody talked about it. And so making me think, you know, did it actually happen? And then they played at Cebu. Mm-hmm. And there was also no evidence of a bullpen session. And manager Kuriyama said, well, you know, at Rakuten and Cebu, you can see the bullpens.
Right.
Right. So we didn't want to do them there. So again, they're I don't know whether he's confusing Ohtani with a space alien in Area 51 or something, but we still haven't seen the physical evidence. We've had people talking about it, but we don't know it's actually happening. I believe it is. So anyway, and the reason I bring this up is because in the middle of the interview, Chris and I were standing in the stairwell from the dugout towards the mirror room behind the dugout on the home side of Tokyo Dome, and all these reporters were walking, rushing to and fro past us, mm-hmm. to cover Ohtani's bullpen. And apparently they didn't get anything, because I was able to have a longer chat with pitching coach Masato Yoshi afterwards. But anyway, and I was also, since I was there for Ohtani, my attention with Mr. Martin was somewhat shaky. I'm kind of going, I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him, but my eyes are wandering all over the place, and I think he caught that cue, and he's going, "What is this guy doing?"
Hey, I'm standing right here, buddy.
I know. Well, it's hard to miss Chris Martin. I have to stand 2 steps above him so that we're on, on the same eye level,
Right.
because he's 6'8".
The big dude.
So
Yeah.
anyway, we had a chat about different things and about the Fighters' pitching staff and so on, and I felt a little bit like Bruce Springsteen because the elephant in the room. I wasn't going to mention his name today, so you will not hear me mention anybody's name who happens to be a hitter and a pitcher.
Oh, the guy you were just talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't mention it, so I felt like Bruce Springsteen introducing Clarence Clemens, just shouting, "Do I have to say his name?"
Oh, that's where that comes from.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, yeah, I was lost
Yeah.
on that one. I'm glad you explained.
Okay. So it was sort of like that. We were talking around it, but it's sort of like he's that guy who everybody wants to talk about, so we had to talk about him. Well, I had to talk about him. Let's all take Chris off the hook. I think he would have been happy not saying anything.
Right.
So anyway, here's what we had to say, or here's what Chris had to say. Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Nippon Ham Fighters reliever Chris Martin, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, well, you've been a big help for us through the season, explaining how things go, with like how they taught you the home plate collision rule and
Right.
all that silly stuff, and things really turned around. I don't know if turned around, but really stepped up for you in the middle of the season, and they came to you and said, "We want you to be the closer tomorrow." How did that go down?
Right, like you said, I don't feel like I was struggling at the beginning, but obviously it wasn't. I was pretty much average, and I was getting the job done, but it wasn't pretty all the time. And they needed a guy to step up in the closing role, and I felt like I felt like it wasn't really anything new, just same as the 8th through the 7th, just go out there and put up a zero, and I felt like that mindset helped me out a lot.
Okay, so not. I mean, typically, with the thing with the closer is that you got to be able to get rid of yesterday's bad game. But I mean, that seems to be you've got another one, which is I treat it like it's a 7th inning.
Right. No matter how it goes, if you go out and strike out the side, or you go out there and you give up 3 hits and a run, or 2 home runs, whatever, the next day is a new day as a
Okay.
closer. You got to go out there and finish the game off for the team to get the win. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, what have been? You said you were struck. Were there any adjustments you've made since the start of the season when you were going up and down, or has it been more of a mental thing?
I feel like I've been pretty good mentally all throughout my career. I think obviously the biggest thing is just the experience and building confidence, and coming in here, it's a whole new, it's a different game. Even though it's really small adjustments that you have to make. I think confidence goes a long ways, and once I kind of got on a roll, the confidence kept going up and up, and I feel like I've run with it so far. So,
must be, of course, now you guys are in a situation where, I guess the old people, the people who are even older than me say, you can never have enough pitching, but it looks like you guys got enough pitching.
Absolutely. From the starters to the entire bullpen, even our guys that come in a losing situation. I mean, those guys go out there and they compete and they get the job done. That's huge to keep the game where it is, even if we're down in the game or up by a lot in the game, to keep some of the guys that throw a lot out of the game. Those guys have been huge. The starters going out, I don't want to jinx this or anything, so I'm going to keep it limited.
Okay.
But, they've gone out there and they do their job. And it makes it easy as a reliever, you see them do their job, and you don't want to come in and mess up something that they worked so hard for, throwing 6, 7 innings or whatever. You want to go out there and get and finish it out for them.
Well, it's always nice having, somebody in the batting order who's got that 450 on base percentage, and not having to use him as a starting pitcher every week.
Absolutely. Yeah. That guy's incredible. It'd be nice to have him on the mound again.
Yeah.
But, he stepped up into the I think he's hitting 3-hole. The guy gets a hit every game, gets a big hit every game. He's been huge down the stretch here. He's incredible to watch, a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, it is, it's obviously, I mean, actually, I think we just saw all these reporters walk by there because he was throwing a bullpen, and
Right.
they wanted to ambush him when he came out. But
So yeah, I hear that it's going to be about next week sometime when they're thinking about how to get him back. So
yeah.
Must be kind of hard now. He hasn't pitched in so long.
I don't think he'll have any problems. You know.
I was wondering for a while if this guy wants to pitch, he might have to go to the majors to pitch.
You know, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be really good no matter what. So I'm excited for him to come back. We need him. We need everyone. We need everyone healthy. All guys on deck. So.
Okay, now you guys were at one point 11 and a half games behind SoftBank in third, in third place in the middle of June, and now you guys are duking it out for first place. What's the feeling on this team?
Just go day by day. Come out, work hard every day. You know how these guys work. Every single day they work hard, they compete every day, and just take it day by day and not worrying about what SoftBank doing or Chiba or any of them guys. You know, just go out and let's play our game and let's win our game and then let the rest.
It's kind of disappointing. You know, the first day you guys were in first place and you had kind of ugly loss.
It's just baseball. That's how it goes, you know. I'm sure it's going to be a fight toward the end. I think the Eagles are creeping up on some guys. It's going to be a fight towards the end. It's baseball. That's why everyone loves to watch it so much. So.
How are you enjoying this first season in Japan?
It's been good. I think it helps that I'm having a pretty good year. I think that definitely is huge. I think if it was the other way around, it'd be hard. I mean, it's hard, and if I was back home too. So, this team is great. Nippon Ham's great with their guys. You know, they take care of us. The transition's been pretty easy, you know.
I think your job's hard enough when you're doing well.
Absolutely, this game's very tough. It's not very forgiving, huh? But just mentally go out there and compete every day. And
okay, well, anyway, so thank you very much for joining us. Look to having you on the show again.
All right,
and good luck in the rest of the season and the postseason.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. All right, good luck. Thanks, man.
Okay, thanks again, Chris. It's been kind of long overdue, and as I started the interview, I said, thanks for all the help, because he's always available and he's always eager to explain things that are going on this season.
Right.
And he's been there. You know, he was there at Cebu Dome the first time that Kona Takahashi got wrapped with the home base collision rule shuffle.
Yeah.
So thanks again. It was really great.
Yep, thank you, Chris. I had already talked to him and asked him to be on the show before. I think it was at Cebu Dome as well. And I met Anthony Bass as well and talked to them both. And they're both very up for being on the show. So it was good that you were able to go out there and talk to him. Thanks a lot.
I'm glad he didn't jinx anybody. I'm glad he didn't say Anthony's name, because he got hammered that night.
Yeah.
but I don't believe in jinxes, because if I did, I'd really be in trouble.
Well, I'll get to that. Yeah, the jinx thing. That was pretty funny. But yes, yeah.
So what would you like to comment upon?
Well, the first thing that struck me was the fact that he said, and of course, I don't blame him and I don't blame you, because I think guys talk, we ask the questions, we try to ask the right questions, and try to get them to tell us what they're really thinking. And of course, a lot of times, especially with Giants players, they feed you the company line and talk about the team and all this other stuff. And but during his chat, he said, of course, he who shall not be named, Mr. Ohtani, he said, your pitching is really good. You guys don't need pitching, essentially something to the effect of not needing any pitching. You guys have enough pitching. And he said, yeah. And he was all over that. But then he said, but it would be nice to have Ohtani on the mound.
I think it would be. I think that's everybody. I think there is advantages to that. And I'll get to that.
Well, But so, I mean, you can't say, yes, I think we have enough pitching, and then, it'd be nice to have Ohtani on the mound. And I don't think he's slighting any of his teammates or anything.
No, I don't think so either.
You've got an ace-level pitcher who's not pitching. You know, it would be nice to see him out there. Plus, that guy on the mound means the bullpen probably doesn't have to work as hard, so... it's a benefit for the team. It's not just a benefit for Chris Martin. If maybe he would probably pitch anyway, because he's the closer, he's the ninth inning guy.
Well.
But it gives the bullpen a break, and he's working out there with those guys. He sees how much they do. It's a benefit for the team to have Ohtani out there taking those innings.
But again, that's his opinion, and we'll get into the obviously the fighter's opinion is different.
Yeah, and I understand, and you know, I'm sure we'll get to a lot later. So,
yeah.
But I mean, the kid throws hard. I mean, we're gonna see. I mean, you know, I like what he said. You know, I don't think he'll forget how to pitch or anything. He's gonna be fine when he gets back on the
mound. See, that was the interesting thing.
And, I think he can wake up in the morning and start throwing 100 mile an hour fastballs with no problem. Now, where they're going, that might be an issue, but he's gonna be able to throw hard, and he hasn't forgotten how to pitch. He's gonna be fine when he gets back on the mound.
So, I think, you know, Shohei Ohtani aside, I think his evaluation of the pitching staff was kind of interesting, because what I took from that is, yeah, absolutely. I'm really impressed by this season. As we mentioned last week, I've been really impressed by the fighters' ability. You know, Yuki Saito notwithstanding. So, well, what are you okay? Did somebody take away your dog biscuit there or something? But I mean,
somebody mentioned the name of the handkerchief zombie.
But I mean, except with the sort of, they have a corporate, I guess it's a, I don't know what it, the, you know, if you're the fighters, you come with a lien on the property, and it's Yuki Saito. Yikes. You got to use him. You got to use him. And with the exception of Yuki Saito, basically, they've identified roles that they're happy with the guys pitching in, which their guys tend to do really well. And it's funny, because some of those roles are guys like Mitsuo Yoshikawa.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't been, we haven't seen a lot of him recently, but when we see him, he's okay. And I think, wow, you know, what's, you know, as soon as the fight, every time you see a fighter's guy go out there, you begin to think, I mean, you, it's not obvious, but you begin to think, oh, this guy can do it. You know, it doesn't even matter if it's Yuya Ishii or anybody. I mean, it's just, they have had a real knack this year for fitting the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yes, they have.
And so I thought that when he said that, I thought it began to dawn on me, and it hadn't really dawned on me until then. I mean, I knew the bullpen had been kind of effective, and they'd been able to come from behind a bit. But I thought the way he put it was quite good. You know, Anthony Bass has shifted from the relief to the bullpen. And it seems like whatever they do seems to work. Of course, it didn't work the first 2 days at Tokyo Dome, but Tokyo Dome will do that to some pitchers.
Right. Yeah, yes, that's true. So, I don't know, we have so much to cover, and so many ways we can go, but you brought up the jinx factor, and I thought, I'm going to tell Chris right now that he can't jinx the bullpen. The only thing that could jinx the bullpen is those guys not working as hard as they do to get the job done. So you can't say, well, you can't do anything with words. This jinx thing is ridiculous. I remember early on, we used to have some of our listeners talking about how they didn't want us to interview players from their teams, because those players, after our interviews,
I remember that,
fell into slumps and what have you. And I thought, well, that's just happenstance. That's ridiculous. There's no,
I know, it's often
jinx. That's why the first thing I do as soon as I see a pitcher who's gone five innings without allowing a hit is I tweet about it. Because there's nothing I can do to impact him throwing a no-hitter or not. Sorry, folks who believe in that ridiculous notion, but there's nothing I can do. So the first thing I do is start tweeting about it. I say no-hitter, I say no-no, I say perfect game or whatever, because it's not me who's going to impact the game.
No, in fact, you know, we now have evidence that John is the reason for the dearth of no-hitters in Japan. It's
now, we now have evidence because there haven't been any, because John always tweets about a guy when he gets to five innings.
Exactly, that's the way that logic goes. So all of you believe in it. You know, you got your evidence now.
Well, next time that fastball gets hit, I'll try to tweet a better fastball.
Indeed.
Hashtag high heat.
But don't worry, the evidence of who killed John F. Kennedy is coming next. So. Because John probably tweeted about that too.
Yeah, so I thought that comment was interesting, that he didn't want to tell us too much because he didn't want to jinx it. I think we're fine. I think he's.
Yeah, I think he is. Indeed,
they're going to do what they do, regardless of what words fly out of his mouth. But back to the Ohtani thing, and of course we're going to talk about him. I just think it's kind of a weird situation where they have this player who's so valuable as a hitter now, and so valuable as a pitcher. And to me, though, they're kind of giving away games, because I would still like to see their ace pitcher out there on the mound instead of, you know, pitcher A or pitcher B, whoever it is. I just, you know, every once a week, it's only once a week that he throws anyway. And I think I understand the idea, the concept of trying to get him as many at bats as possible. And it probably wasn't even a big deal. He did have a bad week. He kind of slumped this past week, and that's...
Yeah, he probably hit about 270 this week, which is a terrible week for him.
Well, yeah, a bad week. Yeah, but I think he got it up. He got the batting average up late in the week, but he had a few games where he just went hitless and didn't look good at the plate. Mm. So, you know, whatever, that happens as a hitter. You can expect that to happen all the time. But I just don't see the benefit of, he's getting rest during the season, which is kind of important. I look at that and I said, what other team could sit its ace in a pennant race and still make up games and catch the first place team?
Depends on your definition of ace, because the SoftBank Hawks tend to do that every year in the last 3 years, which is they keep Tadashi Setsu's heels cooled on the farm team, and then he comes out and pitches like their ace pitcher in September and October.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But of course, a lot of times they have a bit, like including last year, they had a lead, and the year before that, even though they gave the lead up, they had a lead. So I think it's different when you're in second place and you're trying to make up games, and then you get close, and then all of a sudden your ace is on the sidelines, and you know.
Well, he ain't on the sidelines. That's the difference.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, your ace pitcher. That's not right. He's mound.
That's right. He's
that's
been
what I mean, sideline.
Yeah. Well, I think having talked about this, and I was curious about this for a long time, so I published a story on Tuesday basically saying the Fighters' decision is an obvious one. And unfortunately, the reason the Fighters' decision is obvious is because it took a while for him to get back and ready, they scrapped, you know, the notion that he was going to get ready for his next start for a while. They gave it a rest because they had plenty of pitching. They weren't having any problem with the pitching.
There was no lack. There was no urgency to get him back on the mound.
Right. Okay. So now the problem is that in order for him to get back to a starting rotation, see, the ideal for him is to pitch on Sunday and hit, you know, pitch 6-7 innings on Sunday and hit, and then hit 3 days during the week.
Right.
So they got their bat four games out of six, and they've got a full start out of him, which is more than they're going to get, more than any team gets out of any player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's ideal. The problem is right now, after the bullpen session, somebody said, oh, could he start? Yoshi, the pitching coach, said, are you kidding? He couldn't go five innings right off the bat. That ain't going to happen. And he said the best thing that could happen, the ideal thing for his pitching, is to go down to the farm for a week. And, you know, that ain't going to happen.
Did Yoshi get popped in the head with a foul ball or something during batting practice?
No, but he was saying that the best thing for his pitching would be to be on the farm team where he could build up for a week. But the whole problem is the Fighters, although I think with Brandon Laird hitting three home runs on Saturday night, they might feel like, okay, this might be the best time to give Ohtani a little time out of the lineup so he can get prepared for pitching again. But I'll leave the future. We're going to talk about the future, I think, in a second. Anyway, so there was that thing. The real question is, in order to build Ohtani up for a start, it's going to require taking him out of the batting order. And this is what Kuriyama's decision so far about what is best for the team is Ohtani batting yes, Ohtani pitching no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's obvious. I think his value as a hitter has been so big that he's basically said, given our pitching staff, what's more important? And the answer is batting. Okay, now.
Well, yeah, one comment there. I did talk to a major league affiliated source, and he said the same thing that you've been saying all season, which is the team is best when he's hitting and pitching.
Yeah.
And getting him in the lineup is probably important. But, you know, I think obviously if he's not pitching, it's a waste of his abilities because we've seen that he can do both. So right. how can we get him back in the lineup quickly after he pitches? And these Sunday games were actually perfect for him because mm-hmm. there's a built-in day off on Monday where there are right. no games, so you don't have to miss a game. And maybe he doesn't play on Tuesday, but he's back in the lineup on Wednesday, Thursday. Hopefully you have a game on Friday. And then he can take Saturday off and pitch on Sunday. So,
well, everybody agrees that that's the best, but right. the fighters have been dawdling about. Obviously, the reason the fighter, somebody's going to say, well, they're being irresponsible by not getting him on the mound. But I think they've basically made the decision that he's more valuable pitching six. He's more valuable batting 6 days a week than batting four and getting ready to pitch.
Mm. Right.
So I think that's the difference. And here's the other thing, is the day after I published that article in which I mentioned the comparison with Ohtani and Babe Ruth, because mm-hmm. Ohtani's 2016 season is remarkably similar to Babe Ruth's 1918 season, in which he split his time, the first time he split his time between the mound and the outfield.
Right.
So the comparison with Babe Ruth is very valid, but all the people in baseball have always said, well, if you're a Babe Ruth, it's okay. It makes sense that you'd be a hitter. But Babe Ruth was an ERA leader, a guy who was leading the league in complete games. He was a great pitcher. Oh, and if it's Babe Ruth, it's okay. But we really want a pitcher. And I'm thinking that logic is as
Babe Ruth is okay.
Yeah, if you're Babe Ruth, it's okay. But here's the thing. The fact is, and this is what, even in the major leagues where starting pitchers are going every fifth or sixth day, a star hitter is still more valuable than a star pitcher. The chances that a star pitcher, you may want him. Pitchers are more valuable than hitters. And everybody assumes it's true, but to be honest, this is what the fighters think. Everybody says it's true, but when push comes to shove and you actually have to make a choice, people know what's true. And, the teams doing what is in their best interest will pick a guy who can hit over a guy who can pitch. All right, so all I want to say about this, I wish, all I want to say in one sentence never happened. But, John's known me too long for that. Okay, in a nutshell, people can say, he throws 100 miles an hour, so he's got to be a pitcher. But the fact is, when given the choice, the fighters prefer him to hit. They prefer him to be the team's best run producer, as opposed to the race pitcher, because that's where he's more valuable to them. And I think that's obvious. And I don't think they're being negligent, as some people say. But anyway, I had that article comparing Ohtani and Babe Ruth, and you can find it out there. But on Thursday, I went to Cebu Dome, which was 2 days later. And I was talking to some MLB scouts, and one of them said something quite interesting. We agreed that the best thing for Ohtani was the 4 days batting and 1 day pitching.
Right.
And he said, if he pitches, if he starts a game and he bats 4 days a week, 3 days as a DH, a big league team could work around that. Basically the thinking was, he'd have to be a starting pitcher on a 5 day, on a 5 day rotation.
Right.
And then that would mean he wouldn't be able to hit. But on the other hand, if you had a rotation that was built around a guy pitching once a week or every, 6 days, mm-hmm. and he's a DH 3 days a week,
that's you doable. Could deal.
That is doable, because you've got basically a guy who can do two things. You've got two roster spots with one guy. He's the antithesis of the left-handed spot reliever.
Right.
So, okay, and another scout said, I think the big league team that signs him is going to have to offer him the chance to hit, or else he'll just stay in Japan and hit and pitch, and
you know, I'm having my good time, baby.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the numbers, and I think we talked about it early on in his career, his first year, and you said the things that he's doing have only been done by Hall of Fame hitters. Mm. You know, the things that he was doing at the plate, and I kept saying, yeah, but he throws so hard. He's a really good pitcher. I see him as a pitcher first, but I think, and we talked about it last week, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but I think a lot of people are coming around, and I think that's a good assessment by that major league scout, that if a team could work around that in the major leagues, that you know, he'll go. I don't think you know, I'm starting to think that he's not going to go until he gets that.
I think so too. Yeah,
that not in writing per se, but he gets the offer, or gets.
It won't be in writing, but every reporter and his cousin will be reporting that the team says it. So it won't be in writing, but it'll be in every paper in the world.
So yeah, it will be in another form, or a written form somehow. So yeah, thanks, Chris, for the interesting topic for us to launch this spiel on. I mean, it was really good. I mean, I keep saying. I mean, I've been complaining that Ohtani's been useless on the mound because he hasn't been there. You got to be out there to be useful. So I want to see him pitch. And I'm glad we got to talk to Chris because he has been doing good things for the Fighters this year. And closing
I guess a lot of us, of course, have been talking recently about what's the most useful. I mean, a lot of different people and I have been talking about what's the most useful thing for him. And it seems... you know, when you get into the climax series, then you're thinking, wow, what's, you know, this is where they really want him.
Exactly. One of my points I was going to skip because of time constraints, but I'm thinking that it's a great time to rest him anyway, because when you're pushing for a postseason spot and you're able to rest your one of your better pitchers, and you could probably bring him out for game one, whatever situation it is, if it's the first stage of the climax series or the second, and you got a rested guy while a lot of other guys are tired. And so I think that's an advantage. But yeah, we've got to move along here. Thank you very much, Chris. And thank you very much,
Thanks
Jim,
a lot.
For doing the interview. And let's talk about the Hawks. Obviously, they've had a bad week, or I want to say bad week, but they had a poor showing in some games, and then they had another injury, this one to Yuki Yanagita, who's out for 6 weeks about with a broken ring finger on his right hand. He was making a sliding catch at Cebu Prince Dome on Thursday night. So, you know, I threw the question out there, didn't get very many responses. The one that I did get, I agreed with, because I think they have a lot of outfielders who can come and give similar production. Not from one player. They're going to have to mix and match. They're not going to get the power, but I don't think Yanagita hasn't blasted a bunch of home runs like he did last year.
But having said that, his offense has really turned on in the last month and a half. So I think,
especially after he made that error / inside the park home run,
it was sort of like, no, he was banging away, and then he made the error and says, "Oh man, that's terrible. I better keep banging away.
I better bang harder." So yeah, he started banging him over the fence a little bit, but. You talked to Dennis Arfate, and he's always a good chat and gives information. And I know you told me that he's talking about the tiredness of the team. And this was weird to me, because we talked early on to Torida-san, one of the trainers in the off season. Was it this off season or last? It was this off season.
It was at the end of last year.
So. And him talking about how they were going to prepare the team, and they had a plan for everyone, and this, that, and the other. And to hear, you know, fatigue and tiredness, and we haven't seen Rick Vandenhert because he went out of the rotation because of fatigue early on in the season, or in the first half of the season. I think that was not, fatigue, he should have been back by now. I think it was something else.
Yeah. It was other issues. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, it was, they didn't have an answer for what was wrong. It was a lot of little things. So they kind of said fatigue. I think that's what he told me when I saw him in the end of June, but he's coming back, and here's my take. And I mentioned this bit with the Hawks and the Swallows, because I was a big booster of their conditioning programs last year, and how much they ran away from their leagues, you know, from the July. But I think what happened was they also went to very extreme programs last year.
I mean, really extreme programs in terms of hard conditioning, and I think it's a new thing what they're doing, and I think that there's still some kinks in it, and I think there may be some effects from how much they worked last year.
Mm-hmm.
It helped them a lot last year, but it might not be helping them a lot this year, at least so far.
Right.
Having said that, I don't know, but the Swallows seem to be picking things up recently, but the Hawks bullpen, I think part of the Hawks bullpen was they did have a string of injuries, and they had a string. Edison Barrios has not been real effective, and that's affected them.
Yeah, complete different turnaround from last year when he was not giving up runs.
And Jyoti Igarashi had a spell where he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that put an extra strain, although the starting pitching has continued to provide tons of innings.
Right.
The bullpen has been basically whoever we've got for an inning and a half, and then Dennis Sarfate. And Dennis came in to, here's another thing, is Dennis came into the season with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, he rolled his ankle sprinting in, I believe, December or January. And he was very cautious about it. He wasn't doing PFP, wasn't doing any sort of pregame stuff early in the season. He was, taking that very carefully. But his pitching load has increased, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, his right leg is just. I don't know what it looks like. The operation game from when we were kids is all kinds of things wrong with it.
Yeah, you and I were talking. I mean, you just said that the rotation has been giving the team innings, but I mentioned to you that I didn't think there were a lot of complete games in recent years. So I went back and I looked back until 2010 at all mm-hmm. the complete games for all the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the average right now for complete games is 9 per team in mm-hmm. the Pacific League and 7 in the Central League. Mm-hmm. And that compares to 5 years ago, 2011, when the average was 17. I know you're going to say, let me finish. When the average was 17, that's significant from 5 years ago. And then in the Central League, 5 years ago, the average was 10. And the Eagles in 2011 led the way with 23 complete games. Of course, we had Makun here, so that's part of it. I think Iwakuma was still here, right, in 2011?
Yep, he was, but he wasn't all that fit that year.
Right. So, the numbers have changed. I mean, in between there, we've had other years where the average was 7 in the Central League and the average was 8. And 7 in the Pacific League, but those, you know,
yeah. But picking 2011 as a norm is pretty weird.
Because... No, not a norm. Just I mean, you know, that's when it was a high. I mean, it was in,
of course, it was a high.
It was 16.
Of course, so it was a high.
And the average was 12. Yeah.
Of course, it was a high for obvious reasons. 2011 was the year they were using a Nerf ball.
The Nerf ball, which I talked to Chris Johnson of the Hiroshima Carp, and he said that still when he gives up a hit or the ball gets hit, he has to throw it out of the game because it has a dent in it. And he said that's still the case now.
Hmm. I don't think that's ever been all that has. That is probably a part and parcel of the new ball. Of course, that might explain a few things. That might explain Tsuyoshi Shimo Yanagi's success, because every ball that ever touched a bat was never going to see touch his hand again.
Right. So I'm changed balls all the
every,
time.
Every ball that was put in play was thrown out.
Yeah, he said, new balls, please.
Indeed.
So yeah, as we get through this quickly, I understand that the bullpen is tired. I think all the bullpens have been used a lot across MPB, so I don't think that's anything exclusive to the Hawks.
Well, I think what is exclusive to the Hawks is having their closer be fit enough to pitch, because a lot of teams have had, you know, closers go down with injuries this year and effectiveness, and Sarfate is still hanging in there, although I don't know how much.
Hanging is the
hanging in there.
The key word, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully hanging in there, not hanging pitches, but I would like to, you know, for him to get a, you know, get a couple of days off. You know, it's interesting. I think either the Fighters or the Hawks, one of these teams is going to say, one of these teams is going to, it's almost like they're playing chicken or they're playing cards and they're kind of like going, well, they're still they're still raising the bet. One of them is going to fold and say, we're getting ready for the playoffs.
Right.
They're not going to say we're getting ready for the playoffs, but they're going to start resting people.
Right.
And saying this is where it's going to be. And then, we're choosing to be fit going into the rest of the season, into right. the end of the season. So.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the Central League playoff picture. The Magic Carpi ride flying high. Their magic number is 6 as we record here on Sunday morning. And they're just motoring along. I mean, last week I had a question for everybody that I forgot to mention at the end of the show, which was, when did you think the Carp will clinch? And I had a hashtag, Carp clinch, and everything. And I wanted to see who got it right. I'll be honest, my date was going to be September the 15th. And the way they're motoring along, it looks like it's going to be way earlier than that. But you can still send in the hashtag Carp Clinch, and let's try to guess when this thing will be wrapped up in terms of the top team. But I think the race for second and third place, obviously the Giants have a big edge in second place, but the fight for third place is still great. And you just mentioned the Swallows, how they've been coming along, and they're getting it done, man. God, Fuji was the guy last night. Yachi came in and filled in for Yamada when he was out injured, and he earned himself playing time at other positions other than second. But I do really think the kid can pick it at second base, too.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is Kalbata's coming back. Fair is reportedly coming back soon. But what has struck me is the Swallows, who had pretty much during the middle of the season, they had the worst starting pitching and the worst bullpen. Well, their bullpen is still pretty much a shambles. But, I mean, the guy at the end, Jota Akiyoshi, is pretty good. And the starting pitching, however, I'll report in the last 4 weeks, has taken a remarkable turn.
Hmm.
And it's basically two guys. Well, I would say three. I'll throw Kyle Davies in there as well. But it's Hirofumi Yamanaka.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yamanaka, Yamanaka, Yamanaka Super Chain.
So basically, Kyle Davies, Hirofumi Yamanaka, and Yasuhiro Ogawa have just been lights out in the starting rotation. And in the last 4 weeks, the Swallows starters have been basically the best in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Even with Ishikawa giving some...
giving some love to opposing batters.
Hashtag high heat.
Throwing them some cookies.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, obviously the Tigers have lost 7 in a row, but that just happens. I think they'll break out of their funk and they'll put things together. They shouldn't have lost that many games to the Chunichi Dragons, and they got swept there at Nagoya Dome. So, and then DeNA, they were 9-15 in August, and quite frankly, I don't see how they did that well. Yes. So and they were outscored. The Bay Stars were outscored 108-75, out homered 16-29. The ERA was 4.14, down from 5.03 in July. This was a disaster, but they're still in it. Yep. They won the series at Koshien with a comeback last night on Saturday, so that helps them. But they're going to have to struggle to the very end, and I think they're in a playoff mode right now, and it's going to be fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I'll tell you, this battle for third, because I'll tell you, the Dragons are in it. I know. We've buried them.
No, they are. They'll lose soon enough. Yeah. They're not in it. Nope. They're just like looky-loos. They're just coming to sniff around and see what's going on, but they're not buying.
Okay, well, we'll see. But I'm not ruling them out. But okay.
All right.
Because they've got their playing boots on. They're showing up to play. They may not play really well, but don't always, just lots of little things. They've shown enough. They're showing up to the games, and that's the point at this time of the season. You're showing up. You're trying to win. You know, this is what the DeNA Bay Stars used to never do, because they were out of the race by August, they just went in the tank, and everybody would come in and beat the heck out of them.
Well, you know what I'm hoping? Forget what? All the other stuff. Yeah, whatever you got there. I'm just hoping the season ends exactly the way the standings are today, because that would mean that I only got the Giants and the Bay Stars wrong.
Oh.
Every other team that I...
Well, we're all close.
Would be... No, we're not all close.
We're not?
Not all. No, not all of the guys.
Well, okay.
There was
Wayne who picked the DNA to win, but right. But well, my big prediction was that the Giants. Well, actually, I picked the Giants to win a very tight race over the Carp, even though my formula told me the Carp would win a tight race over the Giants, I could essentially come out exactly the way the formulas picked them, so I'm not upset.
All right. All right, a couple of notes. One, Lotte Saburo Omura is retiring after 22 seasons, I believe it was. He compiled 1,362 hits, 655 RBIs. He hit 127 home runs. I saw stuff on Twitter. I saw you throw some notes out there. I think he was a real pro. I think that was about it. He was a... At his retirement press conference before the tears started flowing, he said, "Hey, a professional, in my opinion, is a guy who plays on the top team. And he hasn't been able to make an appearance on the top team this year. And so he decided that's when, you know, he has had enough and he's going to retire." And I think they're going to have a retirement game for him on September 25th. That was the date I heard. And the other thing that he said in that press conference was, if you're winning, if the team is winning, it doesn't matter where you hit in the lineup. And I thought that was a great statement for a guy who hit... cleanup for a while when he really wasn't a cleanup batter.
In 2005 when they won the Pacific League pennant.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You know, he said, "Hey, look, I just wanted to not make an out, get the next guy up." And you know, he did that for a long time. So he had a good career, he's a popular player. Really good
guy.
Was
Yeah, I mean, there was discussion about, you know, what kind of player he was, and he was, and I thought he had five half tools. I think he was better than average. Obviously, his speed was good. It was not a good base stealer, but he had a good arm. He was a very good outfielder. But as far as a hitter goes, he had a little pop. He was very much like, you know, interestingly enough, he's a lot like one of my favorite players, Takumi Kuriyama of the Lions, except. Kuriyama's a better player, but Kuriyama's has been a better player, but he doesn't have that big athletic body that makes people think he's a better player.
Okay.
Whereas Saburo has, you know, he's a big athletic. He looks like a ball player.
Right.
He just really isn't a great ball player, but he looks like he should be. You know, he's one of those guys who goes, "Wow, he's got all those skills," but.
But
he was a heck of an outfielder.
Yeah, good player. All right, Norio Tanabe of the Cebu Lions officially said he was turning away from Tokorozawa after this season.
So what's the next time he's on that he's on Omekaido there? He'll take a left turn instead of going straight.
Yeah, just turn and go to Iruma or Sayama or someplace else and just hang out with the birds in the trees. So this comes as no surprise to those who've been following the show this year. We made light of that fact earlier in the summer. And the idea that Tetsuya Shiozaki is the man to
succeed him
is probably far-fetched in terms of a notion. And I'm getting the feeling we shouldn't even focus on Koji Akiyama because, and this is just speculation on my part, but I haven't, since I talked to the guys out in Cebu, I really haven't heard much about that anymore. And you would think that that story would be moving forward. But have you heard anything?
I have not. And the other thing is, first of all, Akiyama plays everything very close to the vest. He's very private, obviously. I mean, the guy's wife was dying and nobody knew about it.
Right, yeah.
So this
is the guy who says, "If I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you," right?
Pretty much, yeah. He's. I'll talk to you when I've give up smoking.
Right.
So... I don't know. I don't think he's going to be spilling any beans. If the Lions would probably love to have him, and I think he might be interested in going back. But that's, you know, who knows? I don't know. I don't understand his thinking. As I mentioned on Twitter, Charlie Manuel is available and looking for a job, and he would love that. And the people I talked to, I don't think that story got a lot of play, but. the people I talked to said, Alex Ramirez said, Central League, no way. We're trying to get managers who are under 20. we're trying to get young managers. And but in the Pacific League, who knows? Sadahara O said, 72? Are you kidding? Why? Stop wasting my time.
Yeah. I think this team, I mean, the hitting is good. Obviously, we've seen this. The defense is a train wreck, and I don't know that a new skipper fixes that. But I think there's some things that they can do, like find a shortstop, get somebody who's steady out there and not worry about the bat, and go from there. And I think they do strike out a lot, but I think if they develop some of these pitchers, which they're trying to do. Mm. We've seen them bring up some young guys and let them throw and let them see what they can do on the first team or just get a taste of it.
Mm.
I think they can get to the – I think the Lions can get to the postseason next year.
Oh, yeah.
They're close. So I think they should bring in someone who has at least a little bit of experience, because I wouldn't put this team in the hands of a fresh new face.
No, I think the guy they need is Alex Ramirez, but I think he's booked for next season.
Yeah, well geez, we've made a long list of guys who are ready to be managers. So, and you know, there's Shige is out there, Tani Shige, Motonobu. He got fired, so he's running around loose, and he's got some experience. So that could work for them. Just throwing a name out there.
But I'll tell you, the guys who have experience, yeah, unless they can get Senichi Hoshino to come over now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, this one comes from our buddy Dave in Baltimore, and he's the MPB card guy on Twitter, so if you want to look him up, I suggest you do so. He's a good follow. He says, I was listening to you and Jim talk on this week's podcast, obviously last week, about how the Fighters have not been using Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher lately. Let's say the Fighters ultimately decide that he's more valuable to them as a pitcher. How do you think that affects his possible future in MLB? Personally, I would like to think that there'd be more interest in him as a pitcher than a hitter, as Japanese pitchers tend to do better in MLB than Japanese hitters, with one notable exception. Thanks as always, Dave, the card guy.
Gee, Dave, I haven't really given it much thought. Who is this guy?
Itchy something.
I think you're right. I think, obviously, I think because of it's a knee-jerk reaction. The guy's a pitcher, therefore he's more valuable. I think that's, again, what everybody says, not what everybody would think if they actually had to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they say, oh, well, he's a good pitcher and he's a hitter. Okay, well, he's a good pitcher, that's fine. But if he's a good hitter, a great pitcher and a great hitter, you have a different equation that nobody's ready for. But I do think you're right. And here's the other thing. I think he's vastly undervalued as a hitter. So, for example, if he went to the majors, I think a smart team would say, oh, yeah, we think you're a hitter. We don't think you're a great hitter, but we'll give you a chance to hit. But, you know, we can't pay you that much because you're a hitter instead of a pitcher. I think that's where it is, because he is undervalued as a hitter. And so I think it's gonna some MLB team, you know, will say, "Oh, good for us! He thinks he's a hitter. Good, we'll save a few bucks."
Well, yeah. The question, the part of the question that I took out was, "How do you think this affects him, his possible future in the MLB?" And what I'm looking at is, he can pitch. Everybody knows, and so now it actually pumps up his value to me, because we've seen him as a pitcher. He's the things that he did in high school are almost legendary as a pitcher. And now we're seeing him hit, and not only hit, win games in the three slot for a team that's competing for the pennant and has a very good chance still, not a great chance, but a very good chance to win the pennant. And it might be off because of what he's doing at the plate. So, yeah, I think it ups his value, because now you say, well, you know, we scouted this guy. And this major league source I talked to the other day says, you know, the teams that are not going to offer him or even compete to bid on him or try to acquire him are the teams that don't scout in Asia very much. But any team that scouts over here knows he can pitch already. And now they're seeing that that he can hit very well in competitive situations, in leverage situations, in late game situations. I think he's upping his stock.
Oh,
as both a two-way player. I think there's no doubt that people will say, well, you know, we looked at him as a hitter, but now, I'm sorry, as a pitcher, but now we can see that he can do both.
Yep.
So we're really going to have to either reevaluate or reassess or look at the situation a little bit differently.
I think he's getting to the point where they're saying, you know, if we see this, I think some of these teams might be setting benchmarks. If we see this, there's going to be a point at which they're going to have to say, this guy can really hit. I think they're in, you know, if a guy throws 100 miles an hour, they don't really care to start with. But now they're getting to the point where, okay, we have to start thinking about this. At what point do we make this kid an offer when he becomes available to be a hitter and a pitcher? Because it was so off the radar before, because it's so unusual. But I love this, and I'll tell you the reason why I love this is, and I'll bet there are American kids who can do this, but everybody steers them away from it. You have to do this, you have to do that. And I mentioned Ohtani and Babe Ruth before as a comparison, and I'll bring this up as another one, because one of the things Babe Ruth did, and I'm just stealing ruthlessly and shamelessly from Bill James.
Did you say stealing ruthlessly when you're talking about Babe Ruth? Did you throw that in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
And basically, he said one of the things Babe Ruth did was show to people that hitting home runs was not a loser's strategy, that players could do it regularly. And that by doing that, he changed the game. Everybody could do what he did, but he was the one who showed everybody you could do it. I think if Ohtani goes on the current course he's going to open the door for all these kids in America who are basically told you have to choose between being a hitter and a pitcher. You know, we're going to see more guys like Sean Doolittle who maybe in 10 years who are, you know, DHs and pitchers. You know, guys who can do it both at a high level because people stop telling them they can't do it.
Yeah.
So I love this.
Hey, you remember what I've been saying from the start? Let him do both. Let him do both. And I think this is a way to show that he can do both and promote himself. All right, we have one more question, but we're going to have to get to it next week. Sorry, Max, we're going to have to hold you back. I've got to get to work. Anyone else who has a question, send them by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat at JBW Podcast. And you can also go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Comments are welcome. You can say how bad we are or how much you hate my voice or cheer Jim up because you know he played hurt last week. Anything.
Playing hurt. No, that ain't me. I don't play hurt. That's for ball players.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
All right. Thanks for hanging with us. Talk to you next time.